Morning. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look down at verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. May God bless his precious word. Loving God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for what our Savior has did. Thank you, Lord, that one day he's going to take all of us that believe in him to live with him for eternity. What a glad day that's going to be, precious Lord. Help me today, Lord. I need you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Too often wars are fought without ever achieving complete victory, just like we had back in the Vietnam War. That war was a mess, folks. It was a mess. We lost some 59,000 soldiers in that war and never really got a victory. Earlier in World War II, there was complete and total victory over Germany and Japan. My philosophy is, if you're going to engage in war, engage it to win in the shortest time possible. Amen. I think too many times we as a nation have got into conflicts in a too half-hearted manner. We just dilly-dally. If you're going to fight, then give them all you got to start with and end the matter. That's my philosophy. You can dilly-dally and wind up getting beat yourself. I've seen boxers do that. Boy, when I was boxing, I didn't do that. I'm ready to get it over with, amen? As we read the Old Testament, when kings won victors over their enemies in battles, they often led their captives in chains behind their conqueror. You can see pictures of that many times in history. History books were people that's been enslaved or in chains, been dragged down Main Street by their conqueror who's defeated them. As they parade down the street, they often shower the crowds with coins or various objects they've obtained from their conquered foes. Show off, that's what it is. Look what I've done. We've defeated our enemies. There was shouting and cheering and praising their victorious leader when that took place. And that leader was desiring the praise of his people. What we have in our text today is similar, except on a much grander scale. In verses 8 and 9, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Talking about Christ, by the way. And now that he ascended, what is it that but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? What is the scriptures talking about here? Let me brief you on what's going on in this wonderful passage. Let me begin by saying that when the people in the Old Testament died, who were saved, such as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Moses and Job and countless others, they didn't go to heaven. They went down into what was called in the Old Testament Sheol, to wait for God to deal with the sin problem, man's sin problem. So when these Old Testament saints died, God hadn't dealt with the sin problem. The sins of the world had not been paid for. They were not allowed to go to heaven then. And they were in a place called, Jesus called it paradise. And even the name sounds fantastic, don't it? Down in the, apparently, the heart of the earth. What we have in our text today is similar, except on a much grander scale. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. People that had been saved, that was in Sheol, Jesus was going to take them out to the Father's house. Don't you know that was an exciting trip? Yeah. Let me begin by saying that when the people in the Old Testament died who were saved, such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and Job, countless others went down into Sheol to wait for God to deal with the sin problem of the world and of mankind. Remember, when Jesus was on the cross, he told the thief who said to him, "Lord, remember me." And remember what Jesus said? "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." In paradise. That would be, he would be down there where all the Old Testament saints was at. This place, Sheol, must have been a beautiful place where all the saints of the Lord had been waiting for their sins to be paid for. Jesus then took them to heaven after he had died and rose from the dead. And let me say this and let me underline this. When Jesus died, he did not go to hell, folks. We got so many preachers today that want to insist that the Lord went to hell. He didn't go to hell, folks. Jesus Christ paid for sin on the cross. That's where God judged sin at, when Jesus was hanging on the cross. That's why God's wrath fell on him. And all that hell could bring upon a soul for eternity came on Jesus for everybody. Now, you talk about suffering. Our Lord suffered. But he suffered on the cross when the sun refused to shine. And the earth began to shake. God was dealing with his son for 3 hours about the sin problem. God judged his son on the cross with his wrath from 12 o'clock to 3 in the evening for our sin. Folks, that was the longest 3 hours I reckon there's ever been. When you're hurting, time goes so slow, don't it? But when you're having a good time, don't time fly? All the fury of God against sin came upon Jesus, the sin bearer, as he suffered like no man ever suffered. Nobody's ever suffered like Jesus. Remember, he paid for every person's sin on the cross. And there's been a lot of persons in this world. There's over 7.5 billion in the world today. And think of the billions that's been before today. But their sin problem has been paid for. When Jesus died, he was placed in a borrowed tomb. For 3 days and 3 nights, he told his disciples he would go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and be raised the third day. What's so sad? They weren't listening. Are you listening this morning? Jesus went down into death. Think about this. Jesus went down into death itself. And his body was lifeless. just like any body down at the morgue. His body was empty of a soul and spirit. He died. He had told his disciples he was going to go to Jerusalem, suffer and die, and be raised the third day. And he went down into death and defeated it on resurrection morning, as scheduled by God. Jesus Christ came from paradise, entered into his still, cold body, and he came alive in a glorified state. Folks, that's amazing. He didn't just enter back in his natural body, but Jesus' body was glorified. It was still a body of flesh and bone, but that body now would do things no other body would do. My, what a God and what a Savior. I want to tell you today, death no longer has a hold on any of you if you're a believer.
Amen.
You don't have to fear death.
No,
death can't do anything to you. It's powerless. There's no pain in death. But believers don't die. Jesus said, believers go to sleep. And did I sleep last night? The Bible views believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as going to sleep. We don't die. This is what happens. On the third day, Jesus arose from the dead and Martha saw him. And then Jesus, apparently, after he took his blood to heaven, after he had talked to Martha. Think about the Lord taking his blood that he had shed on the cross. We're not given any details of how that come about. Only we know that the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. That's into heaven. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. The blood of Jesus is in heaven right now to show to God that he died for the sins of the world. It's a witness. He died. The blood of animals was once sprinkled on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. So now the blood of Jesus resides in heaven in the throne room of Almighty God as a witness that the sin debt has been paid. So now God views the blood of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and is satisfied concerning the sin problem in the world. Everybody can be saved if they'll accept Jesus as their Savior. The Bible says only believe. How much easier can God make it? All the details has been completed. And the Bible says that he gives us the faith to believe.
Yes, sir.
If we will hear the word. I tell you what, folks, when you study this, God don't want anybody to be lost. He made it just so everybody could be saved, just by believing in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Are you sure you're a real believer in Jesus Christ as your Savior? So now God views the blood of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and is satisfied concerning the problems of sin in the world. God is now satisfied. And our world is falling apart, and God's giving people time to get saved. He's giving people plenty of time to get saved. And instead, what do we see? People are rushing headlong towards hell just as hard as they can go. When Jesus died on the cross, certain things were achieved that were essential for God and us also. First of all, upon the cross, Jesus paid for sin, as I've stated. The sin debt is paid. God will not require sin to be paid for again. So if you've accepted Jesus, you are forgiven. You're made a new person. You're now a child of God. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You've been given eternal life, and there's no power nowhere that can keep you from going to heaven if you've been saved. Jesus broke Satan's power. Satan tried to keep Jesus from that cross. When God announced in Genesis 3:15 what was going to happen, from that point on, Satan did his best to destroy the lineage from where the Messiah would come. Everyone he suspected could be in the lineage, Satan tried to destroy it. Because he knew if that Messiah came, he'd be doomed. He knows the word of God. So Jesus broke Satan's power. Satan tried to keep Jesus from the cross from Genesis 3:15 to the present day when he's trying to keep people from believing in the one that died on the cross. That's what his angle is today. Keep people out of church. Keep people occupied with things of this world, of this life. Jesus upon the cross took all the charges against us upon himself and accepted our guilt and our punishment. Think about this. Every sin each of us has sinned, every charge of sin that God has against us, Jesus took all these charges on himself. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, I'm going to pay for it. All the law of God was counseled against us. Jesus fulfilled the law, the Bible says. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, it was a shameful thing for Jesus to do, but his love for us and his obedience to the Father was such, he was going to do God's will. He was going to do God's will. And besides, the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him. What joy was set before the Lord? People being saved. People being saved was the reason he died on the cross. He knew that shedding his life's blood, paying for sin, there would be people that would believe. Are you a believer? Are you a committed believer? Amen. All the law of God was counseled against us. God doesn't have a single thing against me or anyone else that's born again. Isn't that great?
Yes, sir.
Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. God saved us by faith in Jesus Christ. It's the only way to be saved. There's no other way to be saved. God has made it clear in his word, if you don't accept my son, I'm not going to accept you. And so you can believe in God, and that's good. There is a God, but that won't save you. Jesus is the Savior. When you accept Jesus as your Savior because you're a sinner, then God is willing to accept you as one of his own. Now, the sad truth is that although Jesus has suffered and died on the cross, too many people refuse to accept what he has done for them. Isn't that sad? Just in this county right here, there's no telling how many thousands and thousands, maybe millions of people that's lost. And these churches every mile. And salvation is right there available. But they just pass by it. God will remind all these people of that one day when they stand before him. I was trying to get you saved, but you ignored it. I loved you. I had those people to build a church. They invited you to church, but you wouldn't go. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Oh, the people today, even in our own county, thinks what we're doing is foolish, wasting our time. Eternity will tell a different story. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. God saves us by faith in Jesus Christ. Boy, isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? God made it so. I've heard tell of young'uns 6 and 7 years old getting saved. All you got to do is accept Christ and mean it. Now the sad truth is that although Jesus has suffered and died on the cross, too many people refuse to accept what he's done for them. I bet if we put a big sign out front, everybody that comes today is getting $5,000. We couldn't even attend to them, folks. Why? They're not interested in spiritual things. They want the material. The material. For whatever reason, they choose to believe and they spurn the grace of God in their own to their own eternal destruction. Folks, we cannot understand how Christ fully suffered on that cross. It was no trivial thing, Jesus dying on the cross. This was the Father's Son that he loved so much, that had resided in his bosom for eternity. And yet God says to his Son, I want you to go die on a cross to save the people from their sin. I want the people to be with me. I love the people, God says. No one is going to heaven except through the blood of Jesus. One last point, the scripture says Jesus gave gifts to men. What gift is he talking about? The Bible says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God gave the church gifted people to serve in the church, to get the gospel out. God also gave us teachers, choir directors, other godly positions to teach in the church, which is the body of Christ. Folks, this little church that's gathered here today is not just a little church. This is part of the body of Christ. We're going to be with the Lord forever. And we're part of his bride that will spend eternity with him. The Lord gave these gifts to the church so people could know about the Lord and learn about how God loved them. By the way, every born-again believer has been given a spiritual gift or gifts. Every one of us. We're not gifted alike. It wouldn't work for everybody to be just alike. Your gift may differ from mine, but God has gifted us all. Every born-again member of Christ's church has some spiritual gift to be used in helping get out the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to remember today. You're not only a saved believer, child of God, but you are also a gifted person by the Lord Himself. So you can serve the Lord in the church and help the church and be effective in reaching untold hundreds and thousands of people with the good news of Jesus Christ. So our message today is about the complete victory. Jesus Christ died and paid for sin, but death couldn't hold him. He arose victorious. He's alive forevermore. And he said everybody that believe in him is going to live with him forever, forever, forever. Amen. What a Savior. Yes, sir. What love, the love of God, to allow his son to suffer like he did that I might be saved. Amen. Loving God, thank you for the day, this opportunity. Bless this audience today, Lord. This congregation of people, bless. Use, Lord, give us wisdom and the leadership of your Spirit. We'll give thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. This time, we'll remind you that you can come to the altar. You can come and talk to the Lord. All these people in our salvation box needs prayer. All these people on the sick list needs prayer.